on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys. All Facts Media is here with another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson. I'm joined, as always, by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson. Today, we have a third Robinson. No, he's not our brother, but James Robinson, the newest assistant coach at Delaware, former Pittsburgh alum, is on the Auto Bid today. Man, so James, thanks for coming on with us today.
I definitely appreciate you guys for having me. Thanks for the invite.
No problem at all, man. Before we jump into it, man, we're going to have a fun episode today, man. We want to remind you guys to make sure you guys are giving us a like, a retweet on social media, giving us a 5-star rating when you see this podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, man. Tell a friend and tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. It truly does go a long way. Just please make sure you guys are tapping in with our content across all platforms. My guy, Drew, to drop the TikTok. That's going doing numbers on the gram, man. So make sure you just tap in with us on TikTok, our YouTube channel, and all of our platforms across all stream services, man. We appreciate you guys' support up to this point. And also make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. Gonna be him again on the outro. Make sure you guys are tapping in with his music, man. One of the best up-and-coming artists out of the DMV area, man. But like I said before, man, we have a very special guest here on the podcast, man. A man of who has had a very illustrious basketball career. Obviously, 4 years at the Matthew Catholic High School, a 4-year starter at Pitt. Played 6 years overseas, man, and now is the newest assistant coach at Pittsburgh, man. But, you know, I want to give the viewers a little bit of a background. So, you know, just take us through a little bit of your journey, man. Just from, you know, growing up in the DMV, being able to play at the Math on some of the great teams that you played on, and then obviously heading to Pitt and overseas, and now what brought you to Delaware today?
Definitely. So, you know, growing up in the DMV, you guys know firsthand the level of competition that's out there. Every time you step on the court, I was blessed enough to go to DeMatha for 4 years and play against some of the best competition that the area had to offer. I think the one thing that set my experience made my experience special compared to others is my teammates and coaches that I had a chance to work with and play alongside every day, especially in a practice setting. A lot of people, I know I've heard you guys argue before which DeMatha team was the best compared to other years, but just to be able to have that argument or that debate says a lot about the players and the legacy that that is DeMatha High School. So I was fortunate enough to be there for 4 years, play with Coach Mike Jones, play with some of, you know, the best players that come out of our area, including some of the, you know, better guys in the NBA currently. Then I went on to play at University of Pittsburgh for Coach Jamie Dixon for 4 years as well, where, you know, we started off in the Big East for my freshman year, before transitioning to the ACC for my last three. It was a great experience being in Pittsburgh, you know, being away from home, having a chance to really grow up. Steve Adams was my other incoming freshman along with Chris Jones. So everybody knows Big Steve from his time in the NBA, but just building and developing those relationships both at DeMatha and at Pittsburgh, really helped me in my 6 years in Europe. I played 2 years in Bosnia, 1 year in Israel, and then 3 years in Germany. So I think, you know, just growing up in the DMV, going to Pittsburgh, all prepared me for basketball and life outside of basketball while in Europe.
Now, first of all, I'm definitely glad you brought that matter debate, because we're going to ask you that later on the podcast, you know what I'm saying? Got to get a player's perspective. But I wanted to ask you, man, like, you know, why now? You know, why did you decide to kind of step away from the game now and get into coaching? Obviously, you know, you're still playing at a high level. For guys who don't know, back in the States, I believe you guys were in the Abba League over there, which is like an international competition, obviously high level of basketball. Germany, BBL, is one of the best domestic leagues in the world, you know. So what made you kind of feel comfortable with putting the ball down now and kind of heading into this coaching route?
Well, from back in, even probably before my time at DeMatha, coaching has always been a, you know, aspiration of mine. If anybody doesn't know, Coach Corey McCray was the assistant coach here at Delaware last year, who's now taking on the job at Boston College. Corey's always been a mentor of mine as a, also as a fellow DeMatha alum. Played at Glen Arden Rec Center, where I also played growing up. So I've always looked up to Corey, and you know, I guess you can say literally am following his footsteps here at Delaware now. So I'm it's big shoes to fill for me, but the rest of the staff here, and as well as players, is are really, you know, guiding me along the way day to day. And I'm looking to hopefully impact these guys on and off the court, as Coach Corey McCray did. But like I said, you know, coaching has always been an aspiration of mine. When Corey took the Boston College job, this opportunity opened itself up, and I went for it. You know, at 28 years old, you know, having played 6 years in Europe, I experienced a lot, and a lot of wins, some losses. But I think more importantly, you know, just having that blessing to you know, experience other cultures, other people, make friendships, you know, in Europe. All things that I will miss for sure. But you know, I'll carry with me in this new coaching life.
Now, I was going to ask you this a little later, but you mentioned Coach McCray, obviously, who coached at DeMatha while you were there. You know what I'm saying?
And I just missed him. I just missed him. Yeah.
So he was leaving when you were coming in.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, you know how the DeMatha family is. We stay strong no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to kind of touch on that a little bit, man. I mean, what was the communication like between him when he left and you were coming in? Was it like, oh, yeah, I think you'd be good for the position? Like, you know, what was that like for you kind of transitioning from when he left to kind of you coming in?
In terms of coming to Delaware?
Yeah.
Well, it was more so like I called him to congratulate him on his new position at Boston College. And it was crazy how it all worked out that, you know, I put my name, you know, in the hat to replace him here at Delaware. And, you know, he definitely guided me along the way, you know, giving me pointers because I this is my first college coaching job, you know, coming from playing. But, you know, I respected everything he said, followed his lead, and I was fortunate enough to, you know, get the job here.
Now, just one quick follow-up. Obviously, Coach Inglesby was at Notre Dame as an assistant, you know, while you were at Pitt in the Big East and in the ACC. So, you know, talk about a little bit about that dynamic with, you know, being familiar with him and coming in and joining his staff now here at Delaware.
Definitely. So, Coach Inglesby was at Notre Dame when I was, you know, coming out of DeMatha. So, I'm definitely familiar with him from especially a basketball standpoint. Haven't seen
him. Did he recruit you at all?
When I was coming through the math that he did. So obviously I was familiar with him from a basketball and just, you know, educational standpoint. But in the first couple of weeks of being here, being able to really get to know him as a person, as a man, as a family man, more than just a basketball coach, has been a real blessing for me. Just to kind of sit back, observe how he conducts his business on a day-to-day basis, and how he runs his program is it's a great opportunity for me to learn from him. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We had many battles in the ACC Big East, but now you know, we're on the same team. So
yeah, I was gonna say again too, like, I mean, the DeMatha connections are strong because obviously he coached under Mike Bray, who's, you know, DeMatha alum, big time DMV guy. We had him on the podcast. He was talking about how much, you know, Coach Bray is like a role model for him and you know, kind of a mentor for him. And obviously, you know, it kind of kept it in the family with bringing you on. Did you guys talk about that at all? Like, or did you have any communication with kind of, I guess, his desire to maybe add another DMV guy or just kind of keep it in that kind of just keep it in the family in a sense?
Oh, no, definitely. I think that was definitely important to Coach Inglesby here at Delaware. You know, the location of our campus is very central to a lot of the, we'll call them hotbeds in terms of basketball talent. Whether it be, you know, our DMV area, you know, we have New York, Philly, equally as far away. So everything's close to Delaware. So, you know, having another DMV guy on the staff, I think would just, you know, make us that much better in the long run. So, Yeah, like where our campus is, we can get to DC, you know, Virginia, you know, Baltimore. We can get to New York, New Jersey, Philly. So I think just having those ties in those places, you know, in particular, can really be beneficial.
Now, I'm just wondering, what have the last few months been like for you, man? I'm sure it's been a whirlwind going from living in Europe, playing professionally, man, taking the job over here, and having to come home and get adjusted to this whole transition, man. So I'm just wondering, you know, just take me through these last few months for you and what they've been like.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a whirlwind. You know, as recent as 2 months ago, you know, we were, you know, competing on the court in Bosnia in the domestic league. Was fortunate enough to win the domestic league championship there. And then coming home and, you know, preparing, you know, staying in shape, preparing for, you know, next season. And then ultimately, you know, taking a job here at Delaware. So it's been a role shift, but at the same time, like at the end of the day, it's still involving basketball, which I love and will continue to love. So now instead of me going out there being on the court, I have the opportunity to work with some very talented young guys here at Delaware. So, you know, whatever I kind of would be preaching to my teammates while on the court, I can do it, you know, just from the sideline here. And, you know, I think the Coach Inglesby and the rest of the staff has really they really are showing me the ropes in terms of day-to-day business of college basketball.
I think you mentioned something interesting, man, that kind of caught my ears, I guess. You said that, like, you came home and you were kind of working out and staying in shape to kind of prepare for next season. And then now you're obviously coaching. So, like, was it like a kind of aha moment? Like, what was, I guess, some people say, you know, they wake up one day and they're like, you know what, like, I think it's time to give it up. Like, was there a moment when you were like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, put the ball in and pursue this coaching opportunity? Like, because obviously it seems like it wasn't like during the year you're like, all right, this is going to be my last year. It seems like it kind of happened in the course of the offseason. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, you know, what was that process for you, like, just mentally trying to weigh your options in that aspect?
Well, I think just in the fact that, you know, the opportunity was available, it was presented to me in a way such that, you know, Coach Inglesby and the rest of the staff would teach me how to teach me the ropes of college basketball. And it's a job opportunity I aspired to, you know, have at a young age. And I would say for my playing career, I never really put a cap on it in terms of, you know, I'm going to play till I'm 30 no matter what, or I'm going to play until the wheels fall off no matter what. I just wanted to, you know, enjoy the experience, enjoy the game of basketball. And taking this college coaching job allows me to continue enjoying the game of basketball while also impacting, you know, the lives of, you know, our young players.
Now, quick follow-up, man. Are you going to be jumping out there and practice with them boys, man? Because you're still in your prime physically. You know what I'm saying? It might get real spooky for them boys if they got to jump out there and practice.
So, No, definitely. I definitely feel like I can still play. So there'll definitely be some times where, you know, jump out there in a practice or quick one-on-one. And we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's going to get spooky, man. I wish I could be a fly on the wall for that.
Now, I want to ask you, obviously, when you were at Pitt, you scored over 1,100 points, over 600 assists. And at the time you left, you were the ACC record holder for assist to turnover ratio, 3.64-1. Obviously, you know, being a coach, a lot of it is leadership, you know, and you know, being a point guard, you had the opportunity to be a leader on the floor. How do you think that will kind of, you know, help you in this new coaching role? You know, I think just kind of being around you, you've always kind of given the energy of somebody who could excel as a coach, you know. What do you think that your experience kind of as a player will help you, you know, in this world kind of as a coach?
Well, I think just from the simple fact of being able to communicate with our guys, getting in, watching film with them, you know, getting on the court, being able to, you know, demonstrate a bit, being able to show them, you know, a couple different reads. Not necessarily take away from their game in any way or their creative minds. I know in today's age, you know, all the young players are, you know, they're creative, they're super athletic. But if I could, you know, just instill in them like a level of, you know, savvy, being able to make, you know, sharp reads off plays, you know, not necessarily pick and roll, but just be able to really think the game. I think that's an area that I excelled at while I was playing. So if I can help any player, guard, big guy, wing, it doesn't matter. Being able to help them just read the game, you know, slow the game down for them mentally, and then let them, use their creativity and athleticism to go out there and execute.
Now, it's crazy because you're going into your first year as a coach this year, and, you know, we had the pleasure of sitting down with your former high school coach, Mike Jones, last year. He was going into his first year as a college coach. Granted, he was much older than you when he was getting into it, but have you talked to him at all in the past weeks, you know, just about kind of just your new role? And if so, has he given you any advice just about, you know, what to expect within, you know, this new role that you're going to be stepping into?
Of course, of course. You know, Coach Jones, you know, not just in this exact instance, but even, you know, going to Europe to play, going to Pittsburgh to play, and even while my time at DeMatha, you know, he's always had a constant line of communication, not just with me, but all of his former players. And I think that's one thing that, you know, sets him apart from, I'm not going to say everybody else, but a lot of coaches. And I think that's helped him ascend to the role he's in now, and he'll just continue to keep getting bigger and bigger, you know, in his game of basketball, you know. So I think just listening to him and his advice of, you know, just trusting myself, being a, you know, a good listener, and then being able to relay the message from head coach and other assistant coaches to the guys will help, you know, help my process and, you know, with the learning curve of, you know, this, obviously this new challenge that I'm in.
Now, I'm just wondering, obviously, you've been on campus, well, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks now, however long. I mean, being back on campus, man, have you gotten that itch, man? Like, man, I miss it. I mean, I think for me, man, like covering in the media now, I'll go into the gyms like, dang, I miss it. Like, like what has that been like for you, man? And have you gotten that itch? Like, man, I kind of miss playing right now.
No, for sure. I think every day, like, you know, we're basketball players, we're competitors, you know, at heart. So, you know, anytime there's a ball bouncing, you know, anytime somebody's getting some shots up, you want to get out there and compete. So I think, I don't think that'll ever change. So, you, of course, at a certain point, you're going to have to get out there and, you know, show the guys, you know, you can still do it. At the same time, you got to know, like, you know, you're here to help them, you know, reach their goals.
Now, if I remember correctly, man, when I was in college, this was usually around the second summer session. So, like, are you on campus with the guys so far? Like, and if so, man, what has the last week or 2 weeks been like? Just stepping into your new role, actually being around the guys, being on campus, you know, in workouts. Like, what has that been like for you? Just kind of in this first few weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, it brought me back to my college days a lot. Obviously, from the other side of. You know, from the other side now, being on the coaching side. But, you know, we're here doing, you know, summer off-season workouts. You know, the guys are in the weight room, getting it in, on the court, getting extra work, playing pickup amongst themselves. You know, so pretty much the same thing that we would be doing when we were in college. You know, that's what they're doing. And, you know, I'm having the pleasure of being around them on a day-to-day basis, just trying to learn as much as possible from them and the other coaches, like I said. And like, it's really been a pleasure just being able to be on the court for a limited time this summer, just working with the guys and, you know, figuring them out a little bit, helping them in any way I can.
Now, obviously, you're coming into a program that's coming off of a CAA championship and went to a tournament, you know, last season. I mean, just being able to step into a situation like that, you know, a program that has some success in the past few seasons, man, I mean, you know, what's that been like? What are you looking to add? And, you know, what do you think you guys are going to have to do to kind of get back to that mountaintop this season?
Yeah, so, you know, coming off of a CAA championship that they accomplished last season, it's going to be a lot of hard work. You know, a lot of eyes will be on us. It'll be a lot of challenges. But I think, you know, we have the group to be able to come in day to day and just work as hard as we possibly can. You know, from there, if we do everything that we're supposed to in terms of working, you know, staying true to our, you know, true to our bodies, true to the classroom, taking care of business there, and, you know, gelling, keeping that chemistry on and off the court, you know, we should be in a good place to compete with some of the other best teams in the league.
Now, you said that you've always wanted to be a coach, you know, since, you know, you were young, before the good amount of days. Now that you're here, you know, now that you're actually gonna be on the bench this season, what are you most looking forward to as far as just being in this new role? You know, like, obviously the season, it's kind of far away, but I mean, I'm sure it's going to sneak up, you know, pretty quickly, you know? So, like, what are you most looking forward to just in this new journey of yours. And obviously, like I said, this is your first year, but I mean, coaching is something that you can do for next 30, 40 years of your life if you want to, you know what I'm saying? So like when you look at that just kind of on a grand scheme level, you know, what are you most looking forward to in just in this new role of being a coach?
That's a tough one. That's a tough question because it is all new. Every day is new, you know what I mean? In terms of the first day of practice, like the first day we have held workouts, you know, I come on the court, like, you know, I'm really the new guy, like 100% the new guy. So that kind of, but that also gives me a level of energy and enthusiasm that I think we've all had when we were, you know, that rookie going to, you know, Europe or Japan or even our first days in college. So that gives me that excitement and that enthusiasm. Not that I have to necessarily prove myself, but from a sense of, you know, I want to make sure the guys know, you know, I'm giving this 100, my 100%. So of course I'm looking forward to that first game day, but you know, as a former player, I know there's a lot of work that goes into it before that. So, you know, we got workouts here in a little bit, and I'm looking forward to that, getting on the court and, you know, just helping out any way I can, helping the guys get better, you know, give any opinion or, you know, anything I can to the coaching staff as well.
Now, obviously, last year you guys were extremely talented. You lose somebody like Andrew Carr going up to Wake Forest transfer, but you got to bring in guys like Christian Ray, LJ Owens from UMBC, return Jair Davis, who was the rookie of the year in the CAA last year. I mean, what are you guys looking for? I mean, what have you seen from the guys as far as from a roster standpoint, some of the new guys that you've been able to bring in, and what are you guys kind of expecting from them this season?
I think the number one thing that stood out to me from day one that I got here, like, everybody works hard. Like, everybody's work ethic is unmatched. Like, there's dudes on the court right now getting shots up, like, in the weight room extra. So not just those guys that you named, but from top to, you know, from first guy to last guy, like, guys are getting extra work in. You know, everybody's the dedication level has been super impressive. So I think if we just stay that course, you know, we have a good chance to really be good this year.
Now, I kind of want to pivot a little bit because obviously I think there's a lot of people, obviously, that you're going to be coaching, obviously, on the college level, but that are probably going to be listening to this podcast, maybe fans of yours from the DMV area that, you know, will be interested to hear these kind of perspectives. And I want to ask you kind of just about your overseas journey. You know, obviously, a lot of people that are in college right now or that are aspiring to go overseas, they don't really know kind of the ups and downs of just, you know, being in Europe and kind of some of the challenges that go into it. You know, and you've been all over Europe, like you mentioned, you know, Germany, Bosnia, Israel. Like, talk about, I guess, some of the things that you think people don't really know about playing overseas, kind of some of the things that people might struggle with, some of the challenges that kind of come across, you know, when you're kind of pursuing that. Cause I think one thing that I realized or looking back, you know, everybody, obviously as a kid, everybody wants to make it to the league. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, people when they get to college, all right, well, if I'm going to, I'm just go overseas. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it ain't that simple. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not that. It's not sweet over there. Once you do get over there, if you're blessed enough to get opportunities. So, like, just kind of touch on that and kind of your experience, some of the things that you were able to kind of take away from your playing career.
I think you definitely touched on it just then. Like, it's just not that simple. It's hard to get overseas. It's extremely hard to get overseas. And then once you get over there, it's hard to stay overseas. With the, I don't know if you want to call it the culture of Europe or whatever you may want to call it, but it's hard to, you know, get there, you know, get on a team and stay on a team. It's a lot. I mean, everything is performance driven, but I feel like sometimes people don't understand, like, you can get there and, you know, after a couple games, if they're not liking the way you're performing, you know, you can be on the next plane back home. So I think just that in itself. But at the same time, I also think if anybody has the opportunity or the blessing to get to Europe, Japan, you know, any of the overseas places, we're just super fortunate. Even if you go for a matter of 2 weeks or if it's 12-year career, that means you've used the game of basketball to see probably a part of the world that you may never have had a chance to see otherwise, a chance to meet people that you may not come in contact with otherwise. So I think as hard as it is to get to Europe and stay in Europe, it's definitely, it was a great 6 years in my career. And I wouldn't change it for anything.
Now, I also wanted to touch on your pick career. Obviously, I just remember, you know, obviously back watching a lot of those games. Me and Drew, obviously, our older brother, I don't know if you know this, but our older brother played at Syracuse back in 03. So we've always kind of just been Syracuse fans. He also went to the Mavs. His name is Billy Edelin. He went there, obviously, back in the day when Coach Jones was first started coaching there and everything. But, I mean, just kind of reflect on that, man. Just obviously, state of Pitt basketball right now is a lot different than what it was when you were there, man. But when you were there, you guys were tournament team. I believe every season when you were there, you guys made the tournament. Just kind of just looking back on that, you know, what do you take away from that, man? What are the some things that you remember most about that time there at Pitt? And, you know, just kind of take me through your 4 years there a little bit.
And before you go, man, I remember, man, y'all was the Syracuse killers, man. Being a Cuse fan was tough. Whenever we played Pitt, they would kill the zone every time. I was talking to Wild Dixon's little brother the other day, Jermaine Dixon, about it, man. He was talking about the team. He's like, yeah, man, we used to kill Syracuse. I'm like, man, I was depressed watching that, man. But I'll let you go, man. But I had to throw that in there before you started, man.
We still don't talk about the Tyler Ennis full court shot too much.
That was a good moment in the rivalry, watching them games, for us at least.
No, definitely. I mean, even beyond just the Syracuse-Pittsburgh rivalry, just the night-to-night of the Big East and the ACC, like, it was tough. Like, every night was tough. There was no nights off. Like, you knew leading into the game, like we're going to have it's going to be a tough night. Like, you got some of the best dudes in the country, like, on the other side. And, you know, if you don't bring it, like, you can get embarrassed out there. So I think, you know, in every practice, every film session leading up to it, like, you just get that excitement. Like, all right, yeah, we got some dogs coming in here tomorrow night. You know what I mean? So I think that was the number one thing. And like, as a kid, just growing up, watching the Big East, ACC, obviously, like, when we were growing up, like, Maryland was winning the national title, you know, just you see all that stuff. And then to be a part of it, it was almost like a dream come true.
Now, if you had to compare the Big East to the ACC, like, what do you think would be, like, the biggest differences? I remember back in the day, man, Louisville, West Virginia, Syracuse, Georgetown, Rutgers, Villanova. The old Big East was crazy. Like, I think nowadays it's like a basketball-centric conference. A lot of teams obviously left. But, I mean, that old Big East was crazy. Like, so like, how would you compare, like, that old Big East to the ACC, like, when you were playing in it?
Well, I mean, I was a freshman playing in that old Big East. So, I mean, it was definitely eye-opening out there. Like, you know, I think the first game of the season, we might have opened up with Cincinnati. Then we went to Rutgers and then to Georgetown. So, like, those are three of the hardest playing teams, you know, in the conference, like, to open up my freshman year. But then you got, that's not even to mention the Syracuse, the, you know, everybody else that's coming through, Villanova. It's like, it was tough. It was super tough. And then you get to the ACC and not that it wasn't as physical, but, like, it was also a bit of a rule change emphasis that, like, you couldn't be, you know, too crazy physical with the ball handler. So, like, the game in general kind of, you know, eased up. But at the same time, like, this, like, some of the skill level, some of the guys, like, in the ACC especially, but just it was unreal. Like, you get out there, you playing, you know, North Carolina, Duke, like, NC State, like, you know what I mean? So it's like you playing against some really, really skilled guys on a night-to-night basis. And, you know, you had to make sure your game was tight, too, to go in there and just compete.
Now, obviously, man, I just remember watching them old Big East game with UConn and all them rivalries used to be crazy, man. But also, you were ready for it, man, because you played on some crazy high school teams at the Madden, man. Like, obviously – I remember, I believe it was 2010, that team with you, Quinn Cook, Jerry and Grant, Mikhail, Jeremy Grant, Vic. Like that team was crazy. Like I don't know. I remember, I was in, like, middle school. Y'all played Gonzaga at, like, Trinity with, like, Tyler Thorne, Cedric Lindsey, Nate and Chris were young boys on that team. Like, the amount of talent. The crazy
Capital Hoops.
Dirt. Like, the amount of talent on that court was just OD. Like if people don't understand, like, at that point in time, the WCAC, even, like, O'Connell was thick. Like, Jason Clark was, like, all these, Kendall Marshall, like, to talk about that time, man, just playing at the Matha with all them guys, man, in the WCC at that time, man, just and how it kind of groomed you for your career at Pitt and going forward.
No, it definitely did. I mean, when you think about it, like just that, we'll just say the Matha versus Gonzaga rivalry, like that was pretty much a preview of what you would see on a night-to-night basis when you got to the Big East or ACC. And, like, you know, more times than not against those same players, like Tyler going to Duke, like Cedric Lindsey going to Richmond. He was arguably the toughest guy to check in the WCAC, you know. Then you get O'Connell, Kendall Marshall, obviously, like, you know, NBA draft pick. You playing every single night against somebody that you're going to see at that next level. And, you know, I think the thing for us at DeMatha, we almost had a – I'm not gonna say a cheat sheet, but we had to practice against each other on a day-to-day basis. Like Justin Black at Morgan State, like Justin could play with the best of them. And
even know, somebody like Cam Taylor, he went D2. He played EuroLeague. Like he played for the Southern Summer League. He didn't play on that team. Like
exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. So like, you know, just the amount of talent that came through the math, it was just it's unreal when you look back at it and see where everybody's at now and just the impact that they had, you know, during their time in college and now professionally.
I think this is a perfect segue, man, into the question of the hour, because last year when we asked Mike Jones about who the best Napa team was, he kind of walked around the question. He wasn't going to pick none of his former players off, you know. Talk about the team with Hunter and Earl, all those guys, but, I mean, it's just named some of them early 2010s, the Napa team, so – I mean, you were part of four great Demapa teams. So if you had to pick one of the teams, you know, that you were on that you would say was the best team, what would you say it is? And then if you had to pick a team that maybe, I guess, was before or after you thought was pretty good or maybe could bump with y'all, what team would you say?
Ooh. So you got to put me on the spot. Okay. The best team or the most talent on the roster?
Best team.
Yeah, best team, best team.
Best team, I would say my sophomore year with Jaron, Vic, Quinn, Jeremy, Mikhail, BJ. I would probably say that was the best team. If you look from roster top to bottom, my freshman year, we had some guys on that team.
Like was Selby and Najee Hibbert there?
I mean, yeah, they were. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, they were. Marcus Rouse was on the team. Phil Green was a senior. Tom Bush was a senior. That was the top to bottom. I think I don't know if it's because I was a freshman, I was still getting introduced to it, but we had some guys on that team. And I think from, I'm not gonna say all time, but in teams that I can really remember. Austin Freeman, Jeray Grant, Ike, Nigel, like they were tough. I'll go to some of those games and just be like, dang, like this is college or NBA level basketball right here. Like
in fact.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's crazy for me too, man, because I couldn't remember the first time I ever saw you was we went to the Matha camp. And this is like we was youngins. I remember like our AE coach brought us, we was kids, man. I'll never forget, I seen you. And they were like, yeah, this is when you were, I think, about to be an incoming freshman.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm like, he about to be a what? Bro, like, was built. Was, whoa, like your freshman year, you came in the campus ready. Like, yeah. And I was the same thing. Obviously, when you got the pit, you was like a already fully developed. I'm like, yo, like, I don't know. I guess my question is just like thinking back on that time. Like, did you hit like a growth spurt when you was younger or something? Like, cause you look like you were like a junior or senior when you first came in. And I thought people were lying to me when they told me that you were about to be a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, some good genes happen early, and then I guess just some good genes. To be honest with you, I mean, worked hard definitely, but at the time, like we weren't doing too much, you know. Strength and conditioning, especially at the young ages, that the guys are doing now. Like some of these guys you see now coming into high school, middle school, you know, throwing off the backboard to themselves, like it's crazy. But at the time, yeah, you know, just got lucky, had a, you know, strong body, strong frame, and kind of just used it to my advantage.
You got them LeBron G's, man. Them dudes just freak to nature, yo, at a young age, yo, it's crazy. I envy y'all.
One, nah, one you quick got question. About Cam, man, because I think that this is popped into my head recently because I was in Vegas and I seen him playing with Phoenix. Man, I just remember thinking back, man, like he did not play at the Mather. Like he did not get any playing time. Went D2, like just back then, like obviously he just signed in Girona and obviously in the ACB, which is one of the arguably the best domestic league in the world outside of the NBA. I mean, this guy's tough, like, or did it one thing where he just kind of got better over time, like. I don't know. Obviously, yeah, that team was super talented, but did you guys ever think that his ceiling could kind of be where it is today, or was it one of the things where he just kind of got better with time?
I think, well, to be honest, yes, he got better with time, but it's not a surprise to any of us. Like, I'll say us as in, like, you know, the DeMatha family especially. Even when Cam wasn't playing much at DeMatha, or, you know, he was, we'll say, not one of the recognized guys, Cam was still in the gym every morning. Like, he didn't miss a morning workout. He stayed after at practice to get extra shots up. He worked hard in the weight room. It definitely helped that he grew to be 6'6", almost during the middle of the senior season. But even before that, like he didn't miss a day getting extra work in. And so everything that's coming Cam's way now is not a surprise to us. It's almost like, you know, it was just a matter of time for him to really blow up the way he is now. And, you know, he's still working at the same pace and work ethic that he had back then. So there's really no telling. Like, I know he played well with the Phoenix Suns and Summer League in Vegas, but Cam, I definitely see Cam continuing to go up and up in this basketball world.
No, definitely got to, you know, if we're going to mention Cam, definitely got to mention Jeremy, who's obviously no one of you guys' close friends. He just won an Olympic gold medal, you know, last year in Tokyo, man. What has it been like to just see kind of his career? Because I remember, obviously, when he's at the Mavs, he was super raw, like, you know what I'm saying? And now he's developed into one of the best players in the league, you know what I'm saying, a value piece. Now he's going to Portland. But what has it been like to just see his development over the year? I think he was the 39th pick in the draft, you know, second-round guy. It wasn't like a lottery pick or anything like that, and has now kind of just really elevated his career. Like, what has it been like to just kind of see his development over the years as well?
No, definitely. I mean, as a 39th pick in the draft, you usually don't think of many guys like that to, you know, now be on his, what, third or whatever it is contract, you know, being a focal piece for, you know, Portland Trailblazers as they chase this championship next year. But I think Jeremy has been super intentional with the way he works out, the way he, you know, takes care of his body, the way he just, you know, he lives his life. And I think that's a true testament to him that he's super driven. Even if he was the first pick in the draft, he would still approach his day-to-day work the same way. But as the 39th pick, he's even more eager to prove everybody and just prove that, like, you know, he is a top guy in the NBA. And so I think his work ethic is just going to continue to propel him forward. And I definitely see Portland being a true contender out in the West this year. Him and Damian Lillard, that's going to be a good 1-2 punch.
Love it. I love it.
I think that's the last question that I have for you, man. I don't know if there's anything else that Drew wanted to ask you before we hop off.
That was it.
That's it, man. I appreciate y'all big time. Appreciate the love and support always. You know, I support you guys and everything y'all do, man.
I appreciate the love, man. And one more time, congrats again, man, on the new gig, man. Super happy for you. Super proud of you, man. I'm glad that you got on with Inglesby, man. He's definitely a great dude, man. And I already know that you guys are going to do great things this season, man. And you got our best wishes here from the All Facts family.
Definitely. I appreciate y'all. I'll see y'all soon.
See you soon, my guy.
Thank you.
And this has been another episode of the Auto Bid, guys. Make sure you guys are, again, liking, retweeting. We dropped this episode, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple, on Spotify, man. Give us a rating, man. Drop a little comment in there. Tell a friend and tell a friend about the Auto Bid. Make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. This is going to be him on the outro. And also, man, tap into our TikTok, man. My guy Drew was doing numbers on TikTok. Man, tap in at All Facts Media on TikTok. This is going to be Pull Up Tay on the outro. Until next time, folks. You beating on me. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.